Another active week this week, Senator. We saw a lot of debate over nearly a two-week period on, at the base, a transfer bill for students in terms of Senate Bill 1.
Yes, 2 years ago, last year, we began trying to work on some kind of a solution to the court-imposed transfers that were taking place in St. Louis in some unaccredited districts. The cost of those transfers had threatened the financial stability of some of those districts, and it was important that we look at that and try to come up with a plan for helping the children who are in these failing schools find spots in surrounding schools that were not failing, where their parents could at least have some hope that they would receive an education, that have an opportunity for learning, the potential for success in their lives. And we passed legislation last year in the Senate, passed it twice. We were actually able to overcome a gubernatorial veto in the Senate, but the bill was not taken up in the House because the votes were not there to pass it in the House. So we were back at the drawing table again this year. Many of the same provisions are in Senate Bill 1, and the reason it's Senate Bill 1 is because it was considered the most important issue of the legislative session this year. Senate Bill 1 has a number of options in it that will provide paths out of failing schools for the children that are currently locked up in those. And I think there's a lot of potential there to see some progress, not just for those children, but even some progress statewide as we observe how these approaches to giving parents choices affect the outcomes. And I think they'll be good. There's a long path ahead before we actually pass legislation. Our bill will be third read and sent to the House if the fiscal report is finished on it early next week. The House bill, the companion bill, was third read this week, and we'll continue to work with the House as they process Senate Bill 1 and as we consider their bill. Eventually, one of those two bills will end up in a conference committee. That conference committee will develop a conference committee report that will then serve as the final language of whatever the transfer bill becomes. One of the big changes this year was that last year, virtually all of the language referenced school districts. Those districts could be very large, or they could be small in some of the rural areas like I represent, but they were a district-wide type approach. This year, we were able to take that to a building level so that even if a school district is very successful except for one or two buildings, with last year's language, the children in those failing buildings would have just been locked in because the overall district would not have been failing. The language this year says no, that in a building that has a failing, we call them attendance centers because some people, it's not actually a separate building. It may be two different attendance centers in the same building. Then if that's failing, those students would have options to go to other learning centers where they could be educated and would not be bound into that one building.
That, of course, a student-driven bill. Speaking of students, we see a lot of students that come to visit the Capitol, and some of those we saw this week for, I think, part of an annual trek for 4-H'ers.
Yes, yeah, lots and lots of 4-H'ers were here this week. They have an annual meeting up here where they study government. They call it their legislative government conference or something, but it's a great program. They always get lots of praise from the students that go through it. We were able to hear from some of those students just last night at a Missouri Agricultural Banquet, which is kind of a business agricultural combined consortium, and they try to get together and make some awards each year, and they bring in some of the officers and some of the leading students out of 4-H, and we were able to hear from a number of them last night. It's always encouraging when they come up because these are young men and young women who are really learning what it means to live successfully. The 4-H focus is fundamentally on the development of their character, learning right from wrong, practicing right instead of wrong. It also is very helpful in terms of helping them define their vision for the future. And obviously, most of them have a vision in agriculture, although they don't have to have a vision for agriculture. Many of them do. They see the value of agriculture to not just our state financially, but to simply every one of us as consumers of the products that they make. It's always good to hear their vision for what they're going to do, where they hope to be, and just to watch how they behave. These are great examples for their fellow students. I'm sure their encouragement to their teachers. The 4-H is just a terrific program, and it's a reminder every year when they have this week and come to the Capitol just how valuable that program is. And I congratulate the parents and the students who have been able to be involved in that program.
they, along with FFA members, and I know a lot of new generation farmers that we have here in Missouri, are seeing not just a change in terms of technology, but a change in regulation that they have to follow, and regulations coming down the pike almost on a daily basis from the federal government.
One of the most discouraging things right now in agriculture is exactly that. We see these overreaches of the EPA, of any number of government agencies, maybe even the IRS many times, in terms of how land can move from one generation to the next. And it is becoming more and more difficult for young people to have a vision in agriculture. We see things like the non-point source water management plan and some of the air quality plans and so on. Fundamentally, there's probably no group, if you want to call them even a special interest group, there's probably no special interest group any more concerned about the environment than those who are in agriculture, because they're absolutely reliant upon it for not just their future, but the future of their children and grandchildren. We've allowed government to step way outside the constitutional limits that were imposed upon government, especially at the federal level, and allowed them to move onto private property and be a serious threat to the private property rights that were fundamental to our Declaration of Independence and are protected in our Constitution. It is discouraging to me as a legislator to see how we have accommodated those as a population, how easily the government is able to step in now and impose those fundamental rights that we are endowed with, and we don't raise a fuss. I'm disappointed in that. I believe that we need to be taking an active part in our education. We started with education. We're probably going to end with education, because that to me is where that fight has to begin, as our young people learn what it means to be a part of this country, what has made America the exceptional and never before seen country that we have been, and then to understand the threats that are against it. Anything that threatens the liberty, individual liberty, or the economic freedoms that we've enjoyed are a threat to the future for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. And I think right now agriculture is seeing that threat front and center. We do hear it spoken about. I was in a meeting just this week where some of the assaults were discussed very specifically. It's an area where we have to take every action that's available to us at the state level.